everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. This is a show dedicated to empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. And as you know, this hour is dedicated to having in-depth conversations with leading authors, researchers, practitioners, and wise elders who can impart their knowledge, allowing us to expand our horizons and just discover how many fantastic choices there are available for us for our well-being. So thanks for joining me. I'm a naturopathic doctor, and as always, this show is really dedicated to supporting people, and particularly supporting women, since that is my thing. And I always encourage people to go and visit my website, whatwomenmustknow.com, because if you opt in there, you will be sent my special reports. I've got several special reports on hormones, hormone myths, hormone truths, adrenal glands, lots of other issues. I have many, many free articles on my website. And also, once you opt in, you'll be receiving the archive shows of this radio program that I do and the other show that I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. called the Women's Healing Circle. So you can just stay up to date with things and keep learning, growing, and expanding. And if you go to my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know, I post daily tips, recipes, information, articles, again, the kind of information that will allow us to really gain the insight and the skills and practical solutions to so many of the health challenges and hormonal challenges that we are facing. So take advantage of it. It's free and it's there. And I know without this information, I would never have been able to transform my own health, hormonal issues, weight issues. It's just been an amazing journey for me, and this is what I am committed to sharing with all of you. So look forward to a great year with amazing information. And since we're talking about amazing information, that's what our topic's going to be today. We're talking about some amazing information regarding the healing power found within water. I recently attended an anti-aging conference event, and I always love kind of wandering around and seeing what products, what services really catch my eye. And I encountered a very fascinating booth that was promoting double helix water. And there was a huge crowd around it. I had spoken to so many people who just raved about what this water was able to do in terms of supporting our health and well-being. So today we're talking with David Gann, who is a co-author of the book, Double Helix Water. And it's subtitled, Has the 200-Year-Old Mystery of Homeopathy Been Solved? And David, who is one of the people who is dedicated to the research and to the education of a very, very special kind of water. As we know, our planet supports the life that we have here because of water. Water defines us as a species that lives on a type of planet that is a water planet. We must have water. Water plays a major role, and yet I don't think enough people appreciate how powerful water is as a healing element. So we're going to learn all about that today, and I'd like to welcome David to the show. Hello, David.
Hello, Cheryl. Thank you for having me on your program. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I've been looking forward to this interview because you have an amazing story to tell, and you know, I would like you to take this time that we have on the show to really help people understand not just about water in general, but we're talking about a very specific kind of water that you have discovered, you and your co-author, Xu Yin Lo, who is a very amazing man, a theoretical physicist, And you are really educating people about this very special water. So the way I'd like us to start our conversation today is to let my audience know a little bit about you.
All right. Well, Yin and I met around 1993, 94, sometime about that time. My background has been, I'm engineering. I've been in the microelectronics business, and really my specialty was ultra-clean environments, and I built a number of clean rooms in Los Angeles for microelectronics research. And Yin had a project at Caltech. It's a school there in Los Angeles, and he was a professor at Melbourne right before I met him, and he invented a new form of particle beam, and it ended up at Caltech, and I was there helping him. And it was a very sophisticated piece of equipment, and so I helped him design the chamber and was just also helping him take the project forward. So that's where we first met. And it was around that same time that I still had a little company up in Santa Barbara, and we were reducing emissions on large ocean-going boats. There's a group up there called Tidewater Marine that had that were tending offshore platforms in that area. And they were getting significant fines. They were being leased by Chevron, and Chevron was getting big fines for black smoke. And my little company was hired to go in and solve that problem, to solve the smoke problem on these big these engines are called Cat 399s on these big boats. And so we worked on that quite some time, and we're successful in doing it. And then we were challenged by the fact that we were using known catalytic metals in order to do that. And it's called the AQMD, the Air Quality Management District of California, came along and said, "Well, I don't think you can do that. We need to study this for a while." And so that's how I ran into a man who really didn't even claim he was a homeopath. But he claimed that he could make a catalyst with some clean water, with nothing in the water. So I said, "Well, great. You know, I'm originally from Missouri," and I said, "Well, show me." And he gave me a number of water samples that I tried. I had some big test bed engines running there for where we were at Chevron, and I saw no effect. And so I was just about to give up on him, and he said, "Well, what are you doing?" And I showed him what I was doing, and he said, "Well, let me have some of your chemical catalysts." So I gave him some, and I said, "Well, what are you going to do with it?" And he says, "Well, I'm going to take the fields off of those catalysts, and I'm going to put them in the water." Well, again, I was just kind of fascinated because, you know, my background is physics, and I said, "Well, I don't know how you would do that, but sure, give me some samples." And he brought back a couple of days later three samples, and two of them didn't work, but one of them had an actual catalytic effect, and it was just that sort of that unknown that I went, "What is in this water?" So I asked him, "What's in the water? You know, what did you put in?" "Well, I didn't put it in. There's nothing in the water. It's clean water." And I said, "Well, okay." And he wouldn't tell me anything about what he was doing. But in the end, it was at that time that, of course, I knew Yin over at Caltech, and we had a group of people working with us on this particle beam, and Yin had some buddies over at Caltech that were very well-known chemists. And so it became a project to all of us to find out what was in this water sample. And the more we looked at it, the more we found we couldn't find anything. It was basically distilled water. You could see some traces of a few things in it, but nothing that would create a catalyst kind of an action. So we... that would have been 94, and we started just thoroughly trying to understand why this water had this strange phenomena to it, and it had all these different properties to it. It had some dielectric properties it shouldn't have, in other words, some electrical properties it shouldn't have. And so Yin, his background is he's a very strong physicist. He's He did his PhD under at University of Chicago under a man that named Nabu. He was in his theory group, and Nabu went on to get the Nobel Prize in physics. Yen came to the United States with a close friend of his that he'd gone to high school with, and that was Daniel Tu, and Daniel Tu got the Nobel Prize in physics also. Another friend from his same high school got the Clerk Maxwell Prize. Alfred Wong got the Clerk Maxwell Prize. Yao got the Fields Medal. They don't give a Nobel Prize for math. They give a Fields Medal as like the top honor. So he had quite a pedigree. He was coming from quite a group of well-known scientists. So he, being a theoretical physicist, he said, well, it's got to, mathematics has to tell me what's going on. So he studied a man's work named Debye, who also got a Nobel Prize in physics, and he wrote pretty much the a definitive set of equations on what happens if something gets dissolved in water. But it's called the Debye-Huckel theorem. And he found that, Debye only took it out to about one part per thousand. In other words, whether it be, if you put salt or something in water and dilute it 1,000 times. So what Yin decided to do was do the math calculations out to about one part per million. And, lo and behold, I walked into my office one morning there in Los Angeles, and he ran in, and he really looked like a mad scientist. His hair is all kind of disarrayed, and he's yelling, I know what it is, I know what it is, I know. I didn't even know what subject we were on. And he says, I know what's in the water. And I said, what? And he says, a particle has grown. And he says, that particle's made out of water. And it's grown because he went through his math reasoning. I won't put everybody to sleep here, but basically what occurs is when you dilute something like over a million times, if all the conditions are perfect, and that's one thing, they all have to be held in a certain range, then what happens is a particle will form, and that particle is water. It's a solid phase of water, and why we call it double helix water is that we found that when we, over the years, we've concentrated more and more, and we found that when you continue to concentrate it and it reaches a certain concentration, it starts forming a double helix. And so that's the picture on the front of the book, and that's what the book's about, is the sort of the discovery process.
Okay, so David, for a real layperson, what does a catalytic effect mean? I have no idea what that is.
A catalytic effect is like, the simplest one is everybody drives a car, and there's a muffler underneath your car. One muffler kind of reduces noise. The one that's prior to that is called a catalytic converter. And what it has inside is a honeycomb thing that has a very light coating of platinum on it. And what happens is that platinum causes a lower combustion temperature. So in other words, the fuel that doesn't burn inside the engine, as it's coming down through the exhaust pipe, it hits that catalytic converter and reburns. And so and then it goes to the muffler and goes out. And those were installed really in the 70s, I think they became mandatory in the U.S. And they're a pollution reduction device because they burn the fuel that's in the engine that has not burned. It hits that catalytic converter. There's no ignition in there. There's not a spark plug or a glow plug or anything like that would cause it to ignite. It ignites just in the presence of a catalytic metal, and that's because that catalytic metal causes a catalytic effect, which is to lower the temperature of the combustion of that fuel.
All right. So when you're talking about this water, you're talking about the effect it has with fuel and it.
Well, I was running it against some engines at that time using known catalysts, and there were certain things that an engine would do when you would apply a catalyst. You know, they run cleaner, the horsepower increased just a small amount, and the emissions would drop, certain kinds of emissions would drop dramatically. And so I noticed that this all of a sudden when I ran this water, it did very similar things. It wasn't quite as strong, but it just caught my attention that there was something about this water sample that was different. And lo and behold, what had happened, and he just stumbled into an effect. Now, the man told me he was a nice guy, and we eventually gave him some stock and original company and stuff for what he had. And he had just kind of stumbled on something he didn't understand. He had no science background whatsoever. I was just fortunate that I had access to some of the great minds of this century, quite honestly. And I thought it was interesting the other day. Somebody attacked our book somewhere. I can't remember where it was, but he was saying, "Oh, there's no science in this book." And I went, "Well, boy, you don't know the right guys to talk to if you're talking science." Because he was talking about the paper that Yen and a guy named Wong wrote. Well, Wong was a Wheeler student. Wheeler was the man who would basically did was one of the guys on the Manhattan Project, worked with Fermi and Niels Bohr, and he's no longer living. But and then Wong went on to work in one of the national laboratories his entire life and became the lead physicist. So I mean, these are heavyweights in physics. They're not lightweight guys. These guys are they talk in a language of math.
So David, tell us, what is double helix water and what does it do?
Well, we know a tremendous amount about the particle. We know its size, its shape. Well, I've taken hundreds and hundreds of photographs of
this
it.
This is a particle that you found
in
by
water.
A special
it's
process
a water particle.
Created
it's
in
basically,
water.
Like if you have water, water's normally, everybody knows, liquid. Or if you freeze it, it turns to ice, which is a solid known of water. If you heat it up, you get steam. Now, these phases are all heat-related phases, and in physics they're called phase-order transitions. And they're just normal transitions from one phase to the next, but they're caused by heat. This is not caused by heat. This is caused by a pressure, and it's a pressure that is found in water around a single charged particle. When it gets so dilute, like if we had a glass of water here between us and I put some salt in there, and all of a sudden as we dissolve, you're a sodium and I'm a chloride. Well, one of us has a plus and one of us has a minus, so we're attracted to each other. But water acts as a wedge and kind of pushes us apart. But if you continue to dilute and we put more and more distance between us, eventually we can't collide. We can't strike each other because there's just too much distance, too much water. At that time, the particle becomes a sodium or chloride, for instance, and the salt becomes just one guy out there in the middle of space, and the dominating force around him is no longer the force that's in between my plus and minus. The dominating force is what's called the Coulomb force, and that's just a little force around a single charged particle. And it collapses. And when it collapses, it squeezes, since I'm in water, it squeezes 8 water molecules into a new configuration. And those are the things that we've been photographing now for 15, 16 years. And I don't care how you analyze them, they say they're water. You know, we've looked at them in we published in Physics Letters in 2009. And we said, look, these are water, and here's the proof of it. Here's the analysis, and here's what they look like, and here's how you make them. But double helix water is just it was water we first made when we did a study back in, it would have been 96, I guess, at UCLA. We did a study with a man there named Benjamin Bonavide. And Benjamin was the head of the Department of Immunology there. And very nice guy, very wonderful man. And he found that this water particle would wake up T cells. And I'm sure you're familiar with T cells, mm-hmm. but you know what we were looking for were particular cytokines, which are the secretions from the T cells that go on and kind of act as templates eventually and become an antibody and goes over. It's kind of like a Guido and beats up a guy over here that he doesn't like. But normally the ones we were looking for were the tumor fighters, and these are called interleukin, and there's a whole series of them. And we found startling results from this this water particle. We woke up T cells like crazy. And, I mean, the placebo would do maybe nothing or maybe do 10, and we would start at 3,000 or 4,000. And we went to sometimes 7,000 responses. The response was a T cell would secrete a cytokine. So and these were I think we did 57 double-blind studies. And so that paper, when it was published in 96, was almost like, I don't know what happened. It was just like Yin and I were just, you know, we're so naive to this world. We're in the world of physics, but all of a sudden this paper was just horribly attacked. And we were attacked for many, many years on the Internet that neither one of us ever gone to school. We didn't really do physics research. We were just scam artists, and we were ripping people off and blah, blah, blah. But in essence, I think, well, we'd stepped on a landmine because they linked it all, these attackers on the Internet linked it all the way back to this paper that appeared in Nature in 87 by a man named Chuck Buenavista. And he was a French physician researcher, and he wrote a paper called I can't remember exactly the name of the paper. It was 87. It's under his name, but it became probably the most controversial paper that's ever been published in Nature. And he was saying that water had a electronic effect of some kind, that under severe extreme dilutions, that you could had a memory to it, to where if you his procedure was, he had a simple it was an histamine antihistamine reaction on live cells, and on a 1-for-1 dilution, he saw 1-for-1. If he saw it on 1 to 10, he saw like one response in 10. He took it to 100, he saw 1 in 100. But when he took it down to about 1 part per million, all of a sudden he had a response every time, and he went, "What's going on?" And then he took it all the way down to where it was below possibility for one molecule to be there, and yet he got the same result. Everything was lighting up on him with the reaction. So the paper was published, and it was fought over for several years. Nature finally came back and said, "No, we can't get this to repeat. We think it's bad science," even though it repeated in numerous universities. But we were linked with that paper. We didn't even know what that paper was in the beginning. We were going, "Well, look, we're not here to, we didn't start this to prove homeopathy," and we didn't know what homeopathy was when we started. But the more we learn about homeopathy, we went, of course it will do it. You know, you will, when you dilute something in water, and you dilute, if all the conditions, and that's the big thing is, all conditions must be, held constant. And that's probably why some homeopathic remedies work phenomenally well and some don't. It's because it's very critical to hold all conditions stable while you're making these particles, because the atmosphere in which they're made in can affect them, easily affect them, because when you get down to somewhere where it's about, you know, 1 part per million, the biggest thing around you is going to be your atmosphere. And your atmosphere right now is about 400 parts per million of CO2. CO2 in very clean water instantly makes an acid, a carbolic acid. So all your remedies might turn out to be carbolic acid, because that's kind of where that particle forms. So there's a lot of understanding that needs to be done on exactly what this water is. It's not a kind of a fall off a log backyard invention. There's been a lot of work done for 15, 18 years on this. I think we're going into our 18th year. And it's a fundamental discovery, quite honestly, in physics. And we'll, hopefully one of these we won't be shot at.
Well, obviously we're, you know, your co-author is, an exceptional theoretical physicist. You have a background in physics. Most people don't have a clue about physics. And I, you know, you have made a major discovery, but I want you to translate it into the average guy out here in the street, including me, because I know it's important, and I need you to help people understand exactly why it's important, what this water can do for them, and what is it that makes it so special that creates possibilities for healing to happen in the body, because that's what we really want to talk about today.
Okay. Well,
can I just say that when I met you at your booth, you were doing a really interesting demonstration, or you might say, you know, or I like to say a picture's worth a thousand words. So what you had us do is go into a enclosed area, darkened area, where the thermography camera, now thermography cameras look at heat signatures throughout the body. So you can see areas of inflammation if there's a lot of heat or cold. And so we did a before photo, and we saw from the chest up the areas that were showing the greatest inflammation in the body, whether it's your sinuses or whether it's a pain going on in your shoulder or thyroid problems or inflammation around your teeth. You could see all this by the heat signatures. And then we drank the water, and we drank cream infused with the water. We applied cream infused with the water, and we waited 15 minutes. And then we went back in to this darkened area and had another set of images taken looking at what happened. And the results in 15 minutes were extraordinary. We saw areas that were red, showing a lot of heat, had either diminished or disappeared. I mean, it was a totally different profile of a profound change occurring in the body within 15 minutes. And that just blew everyone's mind, because a picture is worth a thousand words. And we saw something quite incredible happen to us. So,
well, we have probably, I don't know, close to 1,000 of those pictures now.
Yeah,
we've been doing them for a number of years, and they are startling.
Wait, David, we're about to take a break. So this is a really important part of our interview. And
okay.
Instead of, you know, having to cut out because of a break, let's hold that, because I know you're going to tell us some amazing things. And we'll take a break now, and then we'll be back in a few minutes, because we're talking to David Gann. He is the co-author of Double Helix Water, an incredible discovery that was made by his co-author, Shui Yin Lo. And we're talking about an amazing healing possibility that is available through a very special form of water. So let's just take a break, and we'll be right back. Okay, everyone, thanks for returning. We are talking to David Gann. He is the co-author of a book called Double Helix Water. Has the 200-year-old mystery of homeopathy been solved? And we've just been talking about a demonstration that I took part in during the anti-aging conference, where I was just absolutely blown away. Within 15 minutes, I saw through thermography images my body significantly shift in inflammation that was occurring. So, David, you were just about to tell us, you know, what is it that's going on when we drink the water, you know, a glass of water, half a glass of water, and use cream, which I apply, that it was infused with this water on certain acupuncture points, places on the body. So go for it, David. Help us understand
this. Well, I'll give you two different explanations of it. One is that this particle is very small. It's when I measure the particle, it's about 30 nanometers, which is, you know, a nanometer is a billionth of a meter, and not too much larger than an atom. So the particle for the cream can go right into the skin very easily, because a pore is going to look like a barn door to it. It's going to go right through it. And it's, since it's water also, the body is familiar with water. You know, mostly, you know, we're trying to rub something into our body that the body doesn't know or like, or it has some toxicity to it. Water, I believe we came from water as far as the body itself. So that's one thing. It's so familiar to the body that it absorbed in there, and also it's got a big polar charge to it. So this, what should I mean by that? It's like when it gets crushed, the every water molecule has a bit of electricity in it. And that sounds kind of wild, but it does. And when it gets crushed into a stronger electrical field. So it's like when I say it's polar, it means it's got a plus and a minus to it. It's like a little battery. So how can it pull this heat out of the body? Because when we first saw that years ago, we went, holy smoke, what is going on with this stuff? Because it was so blatant. I've got pictures of people that just look like Christmas trees one moment, and the next, you know, 20 minutes later, they're just totally cooled off. And I'm going, how can it remove that much heat from the body? Because what you're looking at on if you're looking at a picture from a thermal camera, is you're looking at, like you said, the temperature there. There's a temperature. Where is the temperature coming from? Well, the temperature is coming from a charge. And there's a charge in the body. There's charge in the air. And especially in the area of inflammation, there'll be a sort of a fight going on. And that fight creates motion, and that motion creates electricity, and that electricity creates charge, and that charge creates heat. And then I see it when I take a photograph. And you give these people a glass of this water, and they drink this. And we've done so many controls. We give them just a glass of distilled water, no change. Give them a glass of this water, and it would just amaze you how quickly inflamed areas cool off. So how's it doing it? Well, one explanation, just from a pure physics viewpoint, is that charge, heat, must be dissipated by laying lines to it, almost like grounding it somehow, putting a little line in there that's going to pull the charge away. And if you photograph these particles, they look, they want to basically line up head to toe, head to toe, head to toe. They want to become little lines of charge. They literally want to become circuits. And so we think one thing is when you put them in your body uses them immediately to drain the charge off by actually dissipating it, because it pulls the charge away, because it becomes circuits in the body. And the charge just it neutralizes in an area. Now, Yen being a physicist, but also being a man who's trained in Chinese medicine, years ago, he decided he was going to study medicine, and he said, I'm going to study Chinese medicine rather than allopathic medicine, because I think there's more, it was much older, and anyway, he's from China, and so he says it fits more to my culture. But he's really become now very serious, that believes that what the Chinese have been looking for several thousand years, 2,000 years, and say they exist, do exist. And these are called meridians. And this is an electrical system of the body. And that is, and according to Chinese medicine, it is senior to all other systems. It's like, you know, if your meridians are not in balance and working properly, you're going to be ill. And so he believes this particle is the material basis of Chinese meridians. He believes that we've discovered the circuits of the body, and the circuits are made out of water, and they're made of this particular kind of water. And quite honestly, it's a very sound theory. We're yet to prove it, but we're working on a whole number of research projects right now that are leading us in only one direction, and that these meridians do exist. They are physically present. They're not some mythical, something dreamed out of a person's head. That they are just they're electrical circuits, and the body is senior electrically. It's first electrical mechanism, and then secondary, it's a biological chemical mechanism. But first, it's electricity. And this may also mean why, when people take this water, a lot of times they say, you know, I get so much energy. I wake up in the morning, I want to do some things, and all blah, blah, blah. And probably what that means is that for some reason, in the mitochondria, which is the sort of little powerhouse inside the cell, the mitochondria makes a molecule called ATP, adenosine triphosphate, and it's basically the whole electrical mechanism of the body. If that pump stops, and it's all your cells have numerous mitochondria, but they're always making this little energy particle, and this little energy particle is really very similar to And the mitochondria is very similar to sort of a lead acid battery in your car. It's basically you're creating an electron that's going to be flown off, which is a little electrical particle, and that's going to give your body energy. And it runs constantly, and if it were to stop, if your mitochondria stopped making ATP, you know, I wouldn't talk or you wouldn't talk. Nothing would happen. We would just, you know, we would be totally stagnant. So those are some ideas on what we believe. We believe it helps in cell-to-cell communications. I have a full-time MD here on my staff, and she's been working with a number of physicians trying to understand how it works in the body. But, you know, it's a brand new area. We can't, I can tell you one thing for sure, it's water. And I can tell you one thing for sure, it's not going to hurt you. It's a water particle. It's a, you know, I don't care how you analyze it, it always comes up with water. And,
so, David, excuse me, but can you, I know that you've been doing this for a number of years and you have a lot of anecdotal stories. Mm-hmm. You know, we always have to be careful about what does what in this world where, we're not allowed to say anything heals anything, basically. But you have a lot of interesting stories of people who've benefited from drinking the water. And you do sell the water, this special water that you add to distilled water. So you can, you know, it's in a diluted form that you sell it. Can I just share one experience I've had? I've been using this water now for, a week or two. And I was... dealing with some sort of infection going on in my gum. So I noticed the one tooth was sensitive and would bleed, and I tried all sorts of things to help heal that infection. I know how important it is to get on top of any bleeding of the gums without great success. And I started taking your water, and I started applying the cream that is infused with this water on the specific points that you recommend, and also directly onto my gum above that, by that tooth. And I just am finding that infection is clearing up. I just don't, it doesn't bleed anymore. It's not painful. It's quite extraordinary. So is this the kind of thing you see in people?
Yeah, we find, and I'll just make the, a disclaimer here. I am not a physician, and the water absolutely does, is not a drug, and it's not sold to cure anything. But the reality is, what's occurring is, it's got to be some basic immune trigger of some type. It's got to, because it's not disease specific at all. It's just, we've had people, for the last 5 years, kind of know me in this neighborhood and walk in with the worst diseases you can imagine. I mean, just a whole spectrum of just the things that the people are in hospice about. And they walk away from them. And we have about an 85% record of people walking out of the worst illnesses in the world. Well, we're doing this in conjunction with their physicians and things of that nature, but the reality is it's the water that's it's some form of a basic immune trigger of some type. And no one gets well unless their body fixes what's wrong. That's the bottom line. And I have highest respect for a lot of my friends are physicians. But the reality is that there are not a ton of drugs that are helpful in creating healing situations in the body. What is helpful is getting the body in the best possible shape it can be in, and using its 3.5 billion year genetic code to correct itself, because it's been doing it. I mean, you and I right now are we're at the top of the food chain on planet Earth. There's really nothing around that eats us, and unless you happen to go surfing on the shores of Australia and run into a bunch of big whites, the chances are you're going to we eat everything. We eat all forms of life. We eat everything. We're at the top of the food chain. How do we get here? Well, we got here by never losing. We're the we're the winners of all the billions of years of evolution. And that evolutionary track is still a recorded, I believe it's a binary code, code within our DNA. And that code is how we fix everything that goes wrong with us. So, you know, we have a best possible, you know, set of instructions with us all the time. But sometimes these instructions aren't read, or sometimes they're not passed on. And so that's where we get into trouble. And it's very easily seen if you have a gene defect where a gene gets dropped somehow and doesn't go to the next generation. But there's I think because of all the toxicity we've had in our life over the last, say, 100 years, that we've changed the reproductive mechanism of our body. In other words, how the DNA divides and goes to the next generation. I think because of all the toxins in our foods and our clothes and our air and our water and our surrounding us, that we've created such a soup of sort of potential new bonding agents which can bond to that nucleic acid what needs to make that next generation of cells, and it loses some information. So all of a sudden we start getting ill. And so I think it's just a matter of getting the body back into as perfect of a scenario as you can. And and then I think, you know, I'm not going to heal you, or you're not going to heal the person. That person's going to heal themselves, because you just can't mess around.
And that's the whole thing of energy medicine. You're restoring the body's ability to operate with, you might say, optimal capacity to generate energy, which supports the body in restoring the frequencies that have been compromised. You know, energy medicine is a whole new paradigm. We can't even use the same language when we talk about how this approach is healing the body, because we're getting away from a biochemical reaction. We're dealing more with correcting frequencies. You know, I work with frequencies. One of the modalities I use is bioenergetic medicine, and I have a device that actually can, assess what energy signatures in the body are disrupted and then correct them and then make a homeopathic remedy that supports the body in healing. And, you know, it really sounds like what you're doing with your water, this double helix water, is giving the information to the body so it can repair, regenerate, reduce the inflammation, and just let the body function at the in an optimal way. Does that make sense? Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. I mean, we're, you know, basically our research has been underneath biology, underneath chemistry. I mean, we're, you know, all science comes from physics. I don't care who you are, where you are on planet Earth. Physics is the study of the physical universe and what makes it tick. And in the end, it all comes down to there's a hum or a buzz or a frequency. It's just something. There's a push pull or a reach withdrawal, this way, that way. It's somehow something's going back and forth. And when you give it a vector, give it a direction, it becomes a wave. And that's all there is. When we come down to the bottom of the scale here of energy. And so, yeah, I think, we're not that far away in a few years where you'd walk up to a person, I think, and be able to take an electronic device and, pass it across their body and say, well, you know, you've got a bad lymph gland that we need to fix or whatever. You got a little infection there. We can fix that and blah, blah, blah. And because your body's giving away information all the time, and it's just the we've just not been able to read that information. I mean, look at EKG years ago. There were so many things coming out of it, but no one really understood what all these little squiggly lines meant. We had two or three that we understood, but the rest of them you didn't understand. And the same thing with the reading brain waves. There's so much information that comes out of there. Well, information means something. And we just yet to understand it. And so, why this research is important, it's like we actually think this particle, Yen and I call it like the genesis phase of water. We think it's where where protoplasm started. Because somewhere back a long time ago on the Earth, three and a half billion years ago, it was a ball of water. And somehow life started in that water. Well, it's real feasible that it could start it with this particle, because this particle is it's where water goes solid. It's the first state. And when you see it in the lab and you see it form and grow, you swear it's a bug. You swear it's bacteria. But it's not. It's a water particle. So it's sort of a jump between material and non-material. It's kind of the interphase there. And so it's understanding of how that structure first came together will give us so much information about those frequencies in the body. Because with that first sort of little binary code that's there, because I speak of a binary code, I mean, you know, in a body, there's going to be a place like on DNA, when it divides, there's a place for it to bond or not to bond. And so just, you know, a binary code is 0 or 1 or 1 or 2 or yes or no, or it's a code that all our computers work off of based upon just 2 digits. And I believe the body is a 2-digit machine, and all of its code, all of its understanding of how to fix itself, how to repair itself, how to make ATP, how to make divide cells and fix an infection and then fight infections and make cytokines. All these things have to come from information somewhere. And I think that information is very simple. It's a binary code, and I think this particle that we've discovered is probably the first line of code of the entire body. So that's why it's important to understand it.
Yeah. So can you tell us the kinds of reports you get back from people who have been taking your water? What are some of the things they are
saying?
They
just get well. You know, I don't care what they have.
Really?
They get well. They get well. I mean, we have about 85% of the people just remarkably get well, you know, and they notice in, the first week or two, they'll call me and they'll say, you know, I don't know what's happening, but I just feel so much better. And then, you know, 3 or 4 weeks later, a man called me this morning. His wife had colon cancer and said, last year she got real serious when she got colon cancer. And so she got real serious about taking your water. And she just came back from a test, and they say she didn't have colon cancer anymore. She's totally well. And this lady's 73. And and they say her immune functions are out the roof. They look as she looks like a 30-year-old person. So, and that's, you know, I hate to keep going on, but that's really typical. That is just typical of what's occurred. And if the people that have gotten on the water who did not survive, normally I can count every one of them went back into some kind of crazy treatment system that did not help them, that basically, took them out. Had a surgeon in Houston that had a huge brain tumor, and his wife called me and wanted water, and I sent some down to her, and it was inoperable because it was so large, and 3 months of damn thing, it almost shrank down to nothing, and they decided to go in and take it out, and it killed him in the surgery. And that's really typical. It's just, I don't know, I could tell you stories like that all day. But the reality is that the thing was going away by itself, and it turned out it was dead anyway. But they killed the guy in the surgery. So
right, and I mean it just brings home the point, David, that if you give the body the right information, it can heal itself of anything. But we've
distorted information. That is an absolute truth. Absolute truth. The body can heal itself of anything if it's given the right information. And the thing about it, it didn't even have to be given. It has the right information in it. But what you've got to do is make sure that it can read the right information.
Right.
It's got to get to it. And sometimes it's being covered. That information's been smothered because of just some stupid thing the guy's doing in his life. You know, he's a smoker.
Just toxicity distorts the information, and stress.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's some form of toxin is causing him not to get well, and so you just have to find the right, you know. And I'm sure you can help a person tremendously with the right frequencies. I'm sure that's a real therapy, but No, he wouldn't probably need that if he was in good enough shape. But his lifestyle somehow is causing his problems. And the problem is it's hard to live in this world right now without being the effect of it, because in the last 80 years, 100 years, we've made 100,000 new man-made chemicals that you've never seen for 3.5 billion years. Yeah. And they come into your environment, and your body goes, "What the heck is this? I don't know what to do with this. And is it a friend? Is it a foe? I don't know. I've never seen it before." And so, yeah, I guess it's okay. We'll just leave it there. And then all of a sudden, it has some negative effect on the body's ability to heal. So, what we've done with chemistry is we've been very, very. It's like bringing in someone into your family that has a really kind of wild history, and it might be good or it might be really bad. And because chemistry in the hands of someone who's very skilled and very ethical can be a phenomenal thing for us, because there's, you know, we have tons of chemical things in our lives that are helpful. But we've gotten into the point, you know, someone will come along and say, you know, I need this cereal to taste better, or I need this hamburger. You know, this meat's going to be horrible by the time you get it, but I want it to taste just perfect. Okay, well, so a great chemist comes up with a food additive or a taste addition or some kind of preservative without the understanding of the long-term effect of those things. that's where we get really in the problem. What's going to happen?
We only have a few minutes left. I just want to jump in. We only have a couple of minutes left. Time has really flown by. So I want to. Can you give the email? The website where people can learn more about Double Helix Water, where they can find out how they can order some if they want to try it for themselves, so they can see just what benefits are, you know, might be available to them in their healing journey. So where do people go to learn more about?
They can go to Double Helix Water. www.doublehelixwater.com.
Okay.
And they'll find our book there, and it's run by a company called Cobalt Distribution out of Los Angeles, and they can order the water there. And the water's not that expensive. It's pretty cheap, because we didn't want to.
No, I mean, the water really is cheap compared. I mean, one little bottle of water, because you put 50 drops into a gallon?
Yeah, it'll last you about 4 or 5 weeks. It'll make 10 or 12 gallons of water. And so, you know, it'll cost you less than a cup of coffee.
All right. And then people can just drink that water twice a day. Mm-hmm. And if they can also purchase the cream, is that available as well?
Or that's just available through Cobalt also.
Okay.
We actually don't sell anything. We sell, Ian and I will sell the book, but we don't sell the water. It goes through a Cobalt distribution in
right.
Los Angeles. So
real quickly, David, just real quickly, what's the benefit of using the cream as opposed to putting the drops into filtered? Does it have to be filtered, or does it need?
It should be distilled water or RO water.
Okay.
You want a clean source of water. You don't want any stray ions in the water. You'll get more benefit. Cream is just a guy's got a bad knee. He's got an elbow that hurts him or something like that. It just rubs it on it, and it's topical. It immediately happens, and he'll get some relief.
Gotcha. Okay. This has been so fascinating. I'm intrigued with your Double Helix Water. I'm intrigued with the whole paradigm of energy medicine and restoring, giving the information so the body can find the right way to support its own healing capacity. And the important message is that I really get from you is the body has the capacity to heal itself of anything.
Yeah. I'm sure it does. You wouldn't be here.
Very exciting. David, thank you so much. I just wish you all the best. And, you know, it's not easy being a pioneer and a paradigm buster, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. It comes with a cost.
So I so respect you for doing that, because you're making such a big difference in so many people's lives. So all the best to you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Will. And thank you, everyone listening. Check into Double Helix Water. It could absolutely change your life. And I want to remind everyone to always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. You know, miracles abound every day. So just keep yourself open and know you deserve them. Okay, we'll be back soon. Bye for now.